Romans chapter 8, I want to read beginning in verse 38. All right. Look what it says. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." I want to talk about this morning, this evening, this afternoon, the power of God's love. I want to talk about the power of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I love you." Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. I ask now that you'd anoint me to preach. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. And renew in me a right spirit. Then, Lord, I ask that you'd bless the hearts and the minds of your people. Lord, there's some here today who don't know you. There's some family members, Lord, who've been distant from you. So in the name of Jesus, I ask that the word would convince them that it's better to be on this side than on the other side. Would you bless us now? Speak to us now. Holy Spirit, fall on this place right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. The power of God's love. Love is and always will be the most powerful expression ever known to mankind. Love. Some of us may have never experienced love. Some of us, we have given love, but only in return, we don't get love. And being that it's family and friends, I want to talk to you for a minute. Thank you, ushers. The stuff we call love is not really love. Wish I had somebody. That's called tolerance. We put up with each other. Amen. Because that's family. That's my friend. But if we were to really get down to what the Bible says about love, I promise you we would be shocked. And the reason why we cannot imitate that love is because oftentimes we don't read the Bible. Amen. And then there are some of us who are in the Bible, but yet we overlook what love really is. As a matter of fact, the Bible has much to say about love. As a matter of fact, the Bible is a love letter from God to us. Whenever you look at the Bible, you'll find that over 7,000 times the word love is mentioned. Now, if you are a Bible scholar, and I know we have some in the audience today, and I definitely got one sitting behind me, amen. We know the Bible scholars know about love, about the different types of love. The Bible describes four different types of love that I hope that we all are familiar with. And the first one is phileo love. Amen. The phileo love means friends, companionship love. So in other words, phileo is higher than eros. Amen. It is happiness. Amen. It is happiness. It's our happiness over the other person's happiness. All right. So here's the thing. Phileo love means that we're friends. We love each other. Family, we love each other. Right. We put up with each other. But then there's agape love. And most of you know that. I don't need to break that down for you. Right. Amen. That agape love, let me tell you the Greek word for that. It is agapeo, but the definition of that word, and this is my definition, you can say that's pastor's definition, it is the love that keeps on loving. It is the love that keeps on loving in spite of what you do to me. I'm going to say it one more time. It's the love that keeps on giving. It's the love that keeps on loving all the time. And we say as family, hello somebody, we love each other. We say as friends, we love each other. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, but that has nothing to do with your love. You see, love, this agape love, it's unconditional and it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't have up days and down days. I wish I had somebody. It's not moody. I wish I had somebody. It's not the kind of love that say, just because you don't do for me, I'm not, matter of fact, if you don't do for me, I'm going to do for you. That's agape love. As a matter of fact, it's the kind of love that I don't even deserve. It's the kind of love that you don't deserve. But here's the thing. We have the power to give it. Are you with me? And so that's agape love. But then we have Philadelphia love. That Philadelphia, you know what Philadelphia is, right? Brotherly love between brothers and sisters. Brotherly love. And then we have my favorite kind of love. That's Eros love. That's between husband and wife. That's a different kind. That's intimate love. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all say, what the pastor talking about now? Amen. Eros love. All right? And you don't give Eros love to everybody. Amen. You give that love to your spouse. You don't give that to your children. You give that to your spouse. That's Eros love. That's intimate love. But the love that I want to talk about today is the love that should exist between family members. The love that we say we have. We say we love each other. Yeah, yeah. Amen. We really do, right? And we're going to get into this in a minute. But when it comes to family, love should be the glue. Now watch this. We have family members that have done things that, listen, if somebody else would have done it, you would have written them off already. Am I right about it? But you still go see them. You still put money on their books. Come on, somebody. No, am I talking to somebody? Is the mic on? It's on. Amen. We love them in spite. Listen, they hurt you. You ever been burnt by a family member? Anybody ever been burnt by a family? What about a friend? You've been burnt. You've been hurt by family. Amen. But yet, in spite of being hurt, we still love our family. You know why? We didn't get to choose our family. But the thing that holds us together as family is love. Love is a powerful expression. Amen. Love is the most powerful thing, that it causes us to look over people's faults. I'm getting to it. The writer here is Paul. And as he writes this letter to the Roman church, he was trying to get them to see that doesn't matter what you've done. You know, we have different doctrinal beliefs. But nothing that you do can pull God's love from you. Now, see, I thank God that I have God. Because there's some people, there's some family members, amen, they've just walked away. Come on, somebody. Anybody there? They say they love you. Am I right about it? But that love is not real. That love, you cannot see it. You know, we get together on Thanksgiving. That's about the only time we see each other. Come on, somebody. Am I right about it? Listen, we say we're family. And I'm going to show you something in a minute here. I'm going to show you something in the past. I want you to see it from the word. Not what I say, but what God says, right? Paul says in verse 31. Watch verse 31. He says, what then shall we say to these things? Watch this. If God is for us, that's love. Listen. I'm for you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm contrasting God's love to our love because we can show the same love that God shows for us. He says, what shall we say then? Come on. He says what? He says to these things, if God is for us, can I ask you something? If you're for me, can I trust you? If you're for me, can I rely on you? If you're for me, will you show up in the deepest moments of my life, in the darkest days of my life? But we love each other. Now listen, some of you are going to say amen. So I already know, I wasn't expecting no amens on love. But I want to say this to somebody here today. God, listen, you may not have family, but you got God. And sometimes we got to turn, not all the times, we have to turn to God to get that affirmation that we need. But family, can I ask you a question? Do we really love each other? It's a good question, ain't it? Do we really love each other? The stuff that we've been doing, can we call that love? Look what he says in verse 32. He says, let me show you what love looked like. He says, he who did not spare his own son. Would you give me your last dollar? Amen. But delivered him what? Over for who? Us. All. How will he not also with him freely give us? Give us what? All things. See, I can tell you something. It's not about impressing God. God says, I love you. Listen, I know you messed up. I know you're struggling with some things. But guess what? I love you, and you can freely have all things because of this love that I have for you. I'm going somewhere. And this is what we do in our family. We overlook things, but we ought to keep people accountable. Are you with me? Watch this. We say we love, but do we demonstrate our love? So he goes on in verse 35. Look what he says in verse 35. He says, who, oh my gosh, will separate us from agapeo? That is selfless love. The love of God. The love of Christ. Watch what he says now. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know what he was saying? Paul was trying to say to the Roman church, he was trying to say, listen, y'all, there's nothing that you've experienced right now in this life can stop God's love from reaching you. And oftentimes, saints, we allow tribulation to separate us. Come on, somebody. We let the stuff that we're going through in our own personal life, watch this, to reject family and friends, and watch this, and we want to stand on our own. I could do this by myself. But I want to tell you something. Love can reach you. I want to tell you something. One day love reached me right where I was. I didn't even know how to love. I'm going somewhere with this. You better hold on to this. Amen. And I know you've established your life and you got stuff going on and all this kind of stuff. But let me say something to you. Love will reach you one day. And when God's love touches you, are you with me? You see, when a saved person, what Paul was trying to say to this church in Rome, he was trying to say to them, when a saved person experiences adversity in life, the tendency is to think that you're all alone. And may I say this to you? You're not alone. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now, God will reach you right there. But first he has to reach you with his love. And so we go on. There are times when we feel like God has left us. Anybody been there? that you're all alone. Pastor, I don't know, but my family's divided. I've been distant from them for a long time. And we don't do the things we used to do anymore. Come on, somebody. And there are times when you can start feeling this way. But I want to tell you something. You can try to deny it, but guess what? Everybody needs love. I don't need that. They can keep that. Y'all ain't hearing me. I don't need that. I'm hard. I made it. Yeah, I know you made it. Amen. You need to unloosen your tie because you ain't made it that far. Because if it had not been for God, I'm going to say it one more time, for God, amen, who woke you up this morning, who picked you up, who turned you around, who placed your feet on a solid ground. Y'all walking with me? Amen. If it had not been for God, where would you be? We say, well, I got my own personal relationship. I got my own thing with God. Me and God got a thing going on. Listen, how can you love God and hate your brother who you see? You ain't talked to that family member in a long time. Come on, somebody. But we say we love. I'm just trying to get a perspective on love. And so there we are. Verse 38, and I'm going to sit down. I got four things I'm going to get. Four things, and I'm going to sit down. So Paul says in verse 38, he says, for I am convinced. And that word convinced, it's funny because it's in the perfect tense. That word, that perfect tense means past completed action. So in other words, what he's saying, it's not what God is doing for me now, it's what God has done for me in the past. And what? Guess what? I'm still convinced. Can I ask you something? What more do people have to do in your family to be convinced that you truly love them? He says past completed action, but watch this. It is in the passive voice, which means that the subject was the one acted upon. In other words, I didn't give nothing. God acted upon me by giving me his love. And what Paul is saying, I'm so convinced. So the first thing is about God's love. And the first thing you got to know about your love too. First of all, God's love is believable. Amen. Listen, I'm feeling good by myself. I'm going to do it by myself, y'all. Come on, choir. Help me out right quick. Give me something. Give me something to work with. Can I ask something? How believable is your love? God's love is believable. Because I've tried everything. How many been out there? Come on, y'all. Y'all want to be... Y'all want to be cute and saved now. How many was out there? And it was his love. It was his love that picked you up. It was believable because what I can't believe is why would he save a wretch like me? That's believable. That's love. Guess what? When I have a family member I can't get along with, and guess what? I go back and reconcile with them. That's love. In other words, have I shown them my love? Is it believable or are you just faking me? And listen, a lot of us say we love each other, but in words, not in action. Are you with me? See, when you have experienced the real thing, it's hard to go back to the fake stuff. Come on, somebody. Listen. All that he has done for me, he forgave me. And then on top of that, he blesses me. He takes care of me. And watch this. He does it over and over and over and over. You didn't know how you're going to take care of those kids. You didn't know how you're going to pay them bills. But it was love. God's love. And you know what he kept doing? He kept doing it over and over and over and over. It was believable. Anybody here believe his love? Anybody really believe his love? You believe that it was nobody but Jesus? Listen, Listen, this is what real love is. You don't deserve it, but I gave it to you. I gave it to you. Listen, you were tripping, but I still gave it to you. Amen. So families, the question I have, and friends, how believable is your love for one another? Do I believe that you love me? Does your nephews and nieces and uncles and aunts and friends and, yeah, cousins and all, do they believe your love? I know you say it, but you never support them. Oh, I wish I had somebody. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Can I tell you something? You can't love if you've never experienced love. I'm going to say that one more time. You can put that on Facebook. You can't love if you've never experienced love. And I believe we got some believers in this house. I'm going to say it one more time. I believe we got some believers in this house who can testify that I've been loved by God in spite of me. Come on, somebody. You could either say, ouch, amen, or thank you. Either one. It'll work. Amen. So look what he goes on to say. Now, I'm going to work with these little things here. What Paul did next is he did a contrast between the worst case scenario and a good scenario. Right? So watch this. Watch this. Oftentimes, right, the things that divide families are everyday living. Life. Life is what causes people to become so discouraged. But can I tell you something? A dose of love can fix that. Look what he said. Look what he said. He says, I'm convinced of this. It's believable. That neither what? Now, you know when folk die in your family? We fighting over land. Who gonna get what? You know what I mean? You want the TV? Take the TV. Just take the TV. You know, VCRs don't even, you could have the VCR, baby. Just take the VCR. Take it. I'm just illustrating here, okay? But look what God said. God said Paul said neither death. That even in dying, you'll experience his love. Yeah. Woo. That even when you are about to check out of here, that God will wrap you in his love. Yeah. Listen, let me leave that alone. People dying, nobody want to, you know, I'm just saying. Don't allow death to separate your family. Listen, let's think on the good things of that person's life. Yeah, I know they were a wretch undone. I know that. I know. But we were too. Amen. But it's amazing how funerals, people get all tripped out about doing the death. Like, you know, they separate families. But then here's the other thing. He says life. Now, let me help somebody with that. You wasn't always what you are. Yeah, I know you got that nice position and you know, we got to call your secretary to get through to you and all that kind of stuff. But let me say this to you. Don't let your day-to-day life cause you to be separated from your own family or friends. Y'all ain't hearing me. He says even with life. He says, life ain't gonna do that. Life, if we die, God's love will not stop. If we live, God's love will continue. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that here's the thing. Let's pause for a minute, put our little busy schedules aside and say, man, we're living this life, but how often do we see each other? Yeah, amen. Y'all got quiet, boy. Huh? Ouch. Seriously. We're so busy, we allow life and the issues of life to separate us. And we only call when we got problems. That's not love. Look what he says next. He says, no angels, no principality. In other words, what he's saying is no power on heaven or on earth can stop that love. So the next thing is God's love breaks down all barriers. Look what he says. He says, look what he says. He says, no things present. So I can't come because, you know, next week I got to, no things to come, future. You know, we come up with a lot of excuses why we can't. Well, you live too far. Oh, yeah, y'all walking with me now? You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, because you live on that side of town. I live on this side of town. Guess what? We got vehicles, don't we? And we can drive, can't we? Right? And if you need some gas money, love will get you there. Just keep praying, baby. You get there on a wing and a prayer. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. You ever drive your car and you're trying to get somewhere and you're just praying, God, please, Lord, if you do it this time, I won't do it again. I promise you. And then you pass by, now the price too high. I'm a gone, Lord. Let me get to my gas station. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. So the question is, what about your family? Today, I want you to make a list of the barriers that are separating you from your family or your family from you, and it's time to start praying about that thing. Listen, if you can't fix it, you can pray about it. And here's what you do. You show so much love, they'll be like, what's wrong with her? What is wrong with you? You keep hitting me, I'm going to get back up. See, because God doesn't want any division. And if God's love breaks down all barriers and you have the ability to love, baby, it's time to put that stuff aside and tear down those walls so that you and I can experience freedom. Let me tell you something. It's freedom when you can love. Are you with me? Let me go on. Somebody say, hurry up, Pastor. Look what he said next. He says verse 39. He said, neither height nor depth, right? Nor any, watch this, created thing. Things that, he talked about things that we can't see. He talked about demonic things, principalities and powers. Do you know demons are after your family? Do you know that if you stay together, you will win together? Rather than be divided? He says, listen, some of the stuff we're fighting in our family is demonic. It's a move of the enemy. And listen, when I get mad and say, well, because such and such said, I ain't fooling with them no more. You're wrong for that. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're wrong for that. Listen, and you're the loudest one in church on Sunday. And you're talking about, I ain't fooling with them no more. Matter of fact, you on staff. You in leadership. And you're talking about, I ain't fooling with them no more. And then let me give you the other one. Are you in church too much? Well, let me help you with that, boo. Let me show you how we fix that. Because I'm in church all the time and you can't hang out with me, let me help you out. First of all, I'm only in church for 2 hours, maybe two and a half. Second of all, the church is open for you just like it's open for me. But the problem is, boo, you don't want to come and get what I'm getting. Because here's the thing, we can get along better if you change and if I change at the same time. Are y'all with me? Are we in agreement? So here's the thing, all them days you think I'm in church, come find out. Come see what I'm so attracted to so we can fellowship together in the house of God, in the family of God. That's how you end that. Amen. And oftentimes, listen, those demonic things that you're dealing with, watch this, are those things that will draw you away from God. Amen. The devil is busy, and he divided the first family. And you saw what they did after, right? Shoot, the woman you gave me. Shoot, the devil did it. And then we have the blame game. Family divided. And then what happened to the first kids that came out of that marriage? Murder. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. Y'all in the Bible with me? The family has been divided for so long, but God says love. I'm going to say it one more time. Love. Love. Yes, it does. It covers a multitude of sins. Well, my daddy wasn't there. Still love him? Oh boy, see, somebody just said, nah, I don't know about that, Pastor. You don't understand. You understand? If you knew my daddy, but can I tell you, you got a new daddy now. And your new daddy loves you, so you ought to what? Love your earthly daddy. Are you with me? You got to make that phone call. Look what he said. He says, all these things, and I'm almost done, will not be able to what? Separate us. Is that right? Separate us from what? The love of God. You know what this word separate, it means to, the word means to depart from someone. But it also means, watch this, some of us did this to our family member. Y'all got some cousins, y'all, some people y'all did like this. You severed yourself from. Matter of fact, you went and got a whole new family. You call them mama and you call them Annie, but you don't call your own blood. Uh-oh. Ouch. Go ahead and say, ouch. Good. Let's say it again. Ouch. How you going to call somebody you don't even know? That's my Annie. That's my mama. That's my play mama, but that's my mama. And your mama that gave you birth. Yeah, I know she messed up, and I know she's not where she need to be, but check this out. You in church, she's not. So the answer to that is to get her into the presence of God so that mama can change. Well, she ain't going for that. But if you show her love, if you keep loving her, don't harden your heart to the person that gave you life. Are you with me? So my next point is, God's love destroys what? I couldn't hear it. Division. God's love does what? Got any division in your family? God's love will destroy. I say it one more time. It will destroy the division that's there. And oftentimes, saints, we say we love one another, but yet we're so separated. I'm serious. It's like, you know, we see each other. I get it on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I get that. But, or somebody dying, then we want to get together. Or somebody died. And then we get together for a few minutes, and then guess what? We don't see each other again for how long? Till November. And then all of a sudden, people start dying off in your family. God said, yeah, I'm going to get y'all together. Y'all want to play with me? Let me show you how this is going to work. So before it goes to that route, listen, God's love ought to come through you. To say to them, listen, y'all, it's time for us to be, time for us to be, stop being divided. Because division, amen, the Bible says God doesn't like that. Amen. Because where there's no God, there's disorder and division. And listen, can I tell you something? Is that love? But when we see each other, we say, I love you. I love you, but I can't stand you. At the same time. That's a trip, ain't it? Yeah. Amen. All right, I got one more, and I'm going to sit down. He says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Watch this now. This is the part you got to get. You can't miss this piece right here. Which is in. It's an emphatic. In Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the deal. You can't get God's love if you don't get it through Jesus. Are you with me? I'm saying one more time. You can't get God's love if you don't get it in Christ Jesus. Now here's where I'm going with this. How can your family get love if you're not in Jesus to give it to them? So in other words, the last thing that God does with his love is God's love is demonstrated. You know what? We need to stop talking about it. We need to stop saying I love you. And start saying, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to demonstrate to you that I love you, not just by giving you stuff, but by just being there for you. Sometimes it's not about money. It's not about what you can give to a person, but it's you just standing there with them, calling them, checking on them, being there, driving, 30 miles to get there. Say, babe, what you want? I don't want nothing. I just came by to drink some Kool-Aid with you. Amen. Amen. Am I right about it? God's love is demonstrated. And how did he demonstrate his love, y'all? He took his only son. Come on, somebody, and help me. They marched him up Golgotha's hill. Yeah, they beat him to a pulp. They beat him so bad with a cat nine iron, they ripped his skin off his back. But that's love. I want to tell you something. They marched him up that Villa Dolorosa. They stretched him wide. They put one nail in this hand. They put one nail in the other hand. They riveted his feet. Come on, somebody. They hung him high, stretched him wide, dropped him low, put him in a borrowed tomb. But early, I want to tell somebody, if you're going to love somebody, you got to demonstrate how much you love that person. And sometimes it's going to hurt you all the way there. But you got to believe that God is loving you the same way you ought to love somebody else. Jesus, come on somebody. Yeah, they marched him up that hill. They put him in that borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. I want to tell you, that's love. I don't know what else that is, but I'm convinced, like Paul, that that's love. Give God a hand clap of praise. You see, a husband and wife, one day, they were fussing. They were doing good, but at this point, they had gotten to the point where they were frustrated. And so the wife suggested that they write down their complaints on a piece of paper to show the other person exactly how they felt. She thought it might cut down on the bickering and the fighting in the house. They got their pens and they got their paper and they're furiously writing. The wife is looking up, the husband looking up, and they're just writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. He kept on writing, she kept on writing. Amen. Matter of fact, she took the paper and flipped it over and started writing on the other side of the paper. And just writing and just writing. The wife was in pain and agony, and she was clenching her fists, and tears and anger was coming. You know, tears were coming down her eyes. She was angry as she was writing. Finally, the husband said, I'm finished. They exchanged a sheet of paper and looked at each other's sheet. As soon as she gave him his sheet, she looked down and she felt terrible. She wanted to take her sheet back. For when she looked at the husband's piece of paper, in spite of his anger and in spite of all that had happened, He wrote, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm ticked off, but I love you. I'm angry, but I love you. I want to do something right now, but I love you. You make me so mad, I want to run out the house, but I love you. Listen, I'm so angry right now, I can rip this paper up, but I love you. You see, when she saw how much love that he had for her, it changed their relationship. May I say this to you? Fighting doesn't get it. You can be mad all you want because you didn't get what you wanted. But if you put a dose of love. But before you can even give love, you got to learn how to receive it. And today I want to say this to you. Somebody here today, God wants to pour his love into you through his son. Jesus. And listen, no matter how divided your family may be, today you can take the lead in your family. Everybody here got a leader in their family. And that leader needs to step up and say, you know what, y'all? I hope this makes sense. It's time for us to start really loving each other.